Good morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. I'm going to be with you for about 55 minutes. I'm really excited about today's show because it's going to help all of us. And I mean all of us. I have with me today someone I have the utmost respect for. Known him a long time. He is the president of County Ambulance. His name is Brian Andrews. He's also on the board at PCTV. That's probably more prestigious than being County Ambulance president. But Brian is an excellent authority on emergency medicine. He's nationally recognized, state recognized. And I can say my family has used County Ambulance, and we have nothing but gold stars for them. They've been excellent, really, in some serious cases, too. So what I'm having, it's the holiday season. And with the holidays, from my old days as a cop, we were really busy because we used to run the ambulance then. And then, there's some things you can do to be prepared and not to use the ambulance, but also if you have to, be prepared to help them when they come to help you. So I've asked Brian to come on today and do this show with us. So good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Bill. Thanks for that great introduction. I hope I can live up to it.
Oh, I don't think you're going to have a problem. How many years have you been in the EMS business?
Professionally, this is my 41st year. 41 years I've been doing it professionally. And before that, I volunteered between the Red Cross and other organizations. So a long time.
A long time. And you must have seen a tremendous amount of change.
Oh, absolutely. This industry is just totally different than what we began back in 1982. There's certainly technological changes, a lot of changes to the training. Even today, I tell some of the paramedics that are coming to work for us today, their training is much more comprehensive than mine that was 30 years ago.
How about mine with the PD?
Yeah, well.
You call, we haul.
I'm not going to go there.
Don't go there.
That's why we're doing it now. We've been doing it since 1984 for the city. So
I have to, though, before you go, and let you be, two guys that I let it be known, if anything happens to me out there, either Dickie LeClaire or Johnny Schuman, and Johnny, God rest his soul, he's passed, but boy, they were into it.
Yeah, Dick LeClaire was top shelf. I remember when I was first starting out, I actually spent some time at the PD and learned a lot from Bob Benoit.
Benoit's another one, yeah.
You know, there was that little handful of guys that really put their all into this, and I learned a lot from them.
Yeah, no, and I learned a lot, too. Like you say, our training was far less than what they get today, but what we did get, I tried to practice, you know, because I said one day it could be me, and one day it was me.
Absolutely, and you know, the other thing is, not only has the training and the technology changed, but the type of patients we're seeing has changed as well. You know, a lot of time has been spent educating people to call early rather than later. And that's something I want to touch upon for the holidays. Sometimes people, they'll get that chest pain or difficulty in breathing on the holiday, and they don't want to call 911 because either they don't want to bother those responders. Listen, we're here 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, whether it's a holiday or not, or they don't want to bother their loved ones who, you know, maybe coming over their house or their. Listen, if you're having physical symptoms like that, you call 911. Don't delay it. Don't wait until, you know, later in the day when everybody's gone, because it may be too late. You can't delay, especially when it comes to things like stroke, heart attack. Time is muscle, as we say in our business. And the longer you wait, the more damage is done and the harder it may be to, you know, reverse the damage that's been done.
Yeah, and that's great advice to people, because I just heard of a real tragic story where a person was experienced up, blah, 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 And they didn't. And by the time they got to the ER, there wasn't anything they could do. Where if they had gone 24 hours before, who knows? Because they could put you on a helicopter and get you to Boston if they had to. So,
I mean, with the advancements of medications for stroke and heart attack in particular, the sooner that you get the drug that you need, the more likely you're going to survive without any deficits.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's ironic that a lot of times the slowest days that we have in this business are the holidays and then snowstorms. People don't want to call in the middle of the snowstorms. They're afraid, you know, we won't be able to get to them or whatever. Listen, we'll get there one way or another. And that's where we see people suffer fatal heart attacks or fatal strokes because they wait too long.
And that's one of the reasons, and I've been wanting to have Brian on for a while because he's a wealth of information. But I can remember my old ambulance days and you know, please heed what he's saying. Don't worry about displacing them. They're on duty for you. I remember getting a call. It was Christmas night, and the lady was she was standing outside. I'll never forget, freezing cold, in her nightgown or house dress or whatever they call it, smoking a cigarette and didn't want to go in the ambulance. We took her in the cruiser. And boy, we got her there. I went in to get a chair and got her, and I was wheeling her in. And remember Bella? She used to be in the ER a long time ago. But she said, get her on the table. Well, she was in the midst of a heart attack and they called a code. So if she waited another half hour, she could have been dead.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Another thing that unfortunately the holidays brings to some people is depression.
Yeah.
You know, we see a big increase in our mental health related calls over the holidays and our suicide attempts.
Yeah.
And again, I want to urge people to seek help. You know, this isn't a happy time for everybody.
That's right.
Some people that, you know, carry some things with them that the holidays bring on less than pleasant times. And so, you know, 911 is available for you. Also, the new crisis number, 988. People can call 988, and that will connect them with a mental health professional and help them, you know, navigate whatever mental health emergency they're suffering at the time. But certainly don't sit there and suffer alone because, you know, it's just a difficult time for some people.
Yeah. And for those people that are celebrating that, don't forget to call your old aunt Nellie or shoes alone living in, you know, one of the, and you may be out of town, but you're a phone call or visit or, and that's so true. Our calls were always up in the PD. You know, I used to tell people, if I'm remembering correctly, and of course you got to remember, I don't know where the car is now because I parked it somewhere, but I think we had more calls Christmas Eve, Christmas Day than we did New Year's Eve, New Year's Day.
Really?
My memory.
Yeah. We don't see that. We used to back in our early days, and we don't see that as much nowadays.
Good.
Yeah. Unfortunately, what we do see are more true suicide attempts where people either, you know, successfully, which we never want to see, or have a suicide attempt that, you know, they, instead of seeking help, they just felt they had an answer to the problem. And I know you've brought it up before that, you know, that's a permanent solution to a temporary problem.
Yeah. And that's what they used to do in the army. That would
So you were right. To reach out to your loved ones, it doesn't take much to make a phone call and just touch bases with them and let them know that you're there for them. Absolutely. Yeah.
You're there and you're thinking of them and you wish they could be with you and you wish you could be with them. But many times, I mean, my wife and I, we were stationed in other parts of this country. And my brother just passed on Thursday. And You know, it's a tough time. He was my older brother. He was the rock. He was always there. And, you know, we all got to do a little bit more about reaching out to each other, not just in this. And let me say it one more time. I know you're mad at me, but I don't care. I get the hate mail. Don't worry. I got the skin of an armadillo. The election is over. The election is over. Live with it. Don't have feuds with your family. I heard, I'm not going to go to my brother-in-law. He's a jerk. He voted for. Well, you know what? Your brother-in-law, like my brother, may not be here next year.
You're right, Bill. And, you know, and it's funny because, I mean, we know each other really well. I think we think a lot alike on things. And this was something I said before the election even took place, that I was afraid that even, you know, there was so many people that were at each other and, you know, creating feuds that went well beyond the election. I once the election passes us, people aren't, a lot of people aren't going to stop. They're going to continue to beat each other's, you know, backside. And we're seeing that. You're right. Every morning you open social media and you see somebody taking a shot at somebody. Yeah. And, you know, I'm doing my best to try to avoid those conversations in person and on social media. Because you're right. Some things are happening over stuff that we don't even have control over. Come on. These people on Pennsylvania Avenue don't know us.
No.
So there's no use us, you know, becoming enemies over what they may or may not do.
And if we died tomorrow, they wouldn't even read it in the paper. So there you go. We're having some delay, some skipping. So just to let you know. But I the other thing, it hit me the other day. I just left a gathering and these people, you know, started to get political. And I said, I got to go, bye. You know, and anyhow, but on the way home, there was that song. You're better with the music than I am. But here's what I remember. It's too late when we die to admit we don't see eye to eye. Boy, is that true.
Yeah. That, I'm trying to think of what song that would be from. It's escaping me right at the moment, but you're right.
You should be with me. Thing
about the holidays that can exacerbate that is the fact that people are going to be imbibing in alcohol, and that, you know, that can make us say and do things that we don't necessarily, you know, would do on a regular basis. So, you know, be really, really cautious about your alcohol consumption over the holidays.
Yeah.
You know, and make sure if you are that you designate a sober driver. If you're going from, you know, house to house or from one location to another. And also pay attention to the fact that if you're on medication, if you take any medication, read the labels and make sure if there's any interaction with alcohol, you're aware of it. Because, you know, there's so many medications that can interact with alcohol. And especially, you know, medications that we either use for anxiety or depression or anything like that, or pain, you know, medications will definitely interact with alcohol and can have some, you know, really deadly consequences. So, you know, pay close attention to that, or better yet, don't drink, you know. Certainly there's a lot of non-alcohol selections out there. I've been, you know, sober for a year and a half now, decided that was wanted to do. And, you know, there's so many non-alcoholic beers out there now, and even non-alcoholic cocktails. I'm amazed that you go to Mazzio's and they have a whole menu now of non-alcoholic drinks.
Wow.
So, you know, keep that in mind, especially if, you know, you've had some issues with alcohol in the past.
Well, and you know, you and I, Dr. Chris, we've done shows. In fact, we should try to do another one before Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Is he still around?
Chris Barsotti, yeah. He's still at Berkshire Medical Center.
Oh, okay. Dr. Chris is so knowledgeable, and he's so, as is Brian, they're so proactive in the anti-suicide, counter-suicide, whatever the word, but get the guns. If they're guns, get them out of the house.
Yes, it's, you know, you mentioned that, and as we just talked about depression, and you know, during the holidays where the depression spikes with people, and Dr. Barsotti would be the first to tell you that the data shows if you can remove guns from the equation for just a short period of time, you increase the chances of a suicide not being successful. Too many suicides occur because people had quick access to a gun, especially if they've been drinking or had some, you know, intoxicating substance. So, you know, ensure that if you are feeling depressed, that you reach out to somebody that could maybe take your weapons off your hand for a day or two. That's all it takes. You know, we find that the more likely or the harder it is to get at that weapon, the more likely they wouldn't, you know, live through the you know, doing the suicide attempt.
And, you know, I see it. We've seen it so many times. And it's so sad because, as I said, it is a permanent solution to a temporary problem. And it's I queried this thing. Living years, it's too late when we die. It's from the song The Living Years, 2014, okay. The Mechanics.
Okay. I know who they are. I don't recall the song, but okay.
Yeah. But after just leaving this, what could have been a confrontational situation, I get in and I hear, you know, it's too late when we die for us to agree that we don't see eye to eye. I'm thinking, wow. I mean, you talk about providential.
Yeah. There's something divine in that moment. That's for sure.
Yeah. I, Brian and I were talking before the show too. It's awful to say, but be prepared. If you take medicines, like the Polish princess has mine in a kit, a little box, and night and day, you know, AM, PM, and she haunts me to take them. So, but if anything happens, she knows exactly where they are when the ambulance comes. You don't want them wasting time looking for your pills if you should need them. Is that pretty succinct?
Yeah, no, that's a great point, Bill. It's very important to have a list of your medications available. And actually, in this day and age, everybody has a cell phone. And yeah, it's as simple as taking a picture of all the labels of your medications and have them stored away on your phone. Or there's apps that allow you to save pictures of your important documents, which include your medications, so that in an emergency, you can easily produce them. But, you know, the simplest non-technological way is to have them written down on a sheet of paper that whoever you're living with knows where they are, in case you're not capable of sharing it yourself, or, you know, have it on your refrigerator or some place that's close by. Because if we get there and the person is unconscious, we will take a look around, and, you know, the logical place we'll look oftentimes is the refrigerator, or, you know, take to the front of a kitchen cabinet or something like that, or just have the medications gathered up in a central, you know, device, a bucket or a basket, so that we can have quick access to them. Because it's really important that we know what you're taking, because some of the medications that we may, you know, administer to you, or the hospital may administer to you lately, could potentially interact or have synergistic, reactions to it. So you want to make sure that everybody's aware of those medications.
That's excellent advice.
Also make sure that, you know, your house is identifiable. You know, I know the fire chief and fire inspectors are big on that, making sure that you have the house number on your mailbox. It's an ordinance in Pittsfield to have it on the front of your house. And make sure that if you do call 911 for yourself or somebody else, that you turn on a light so that, you know, we immediately can kind of focus on, especially if it's at night, that's where we're headed to. We want to make sure we're going to the right place. If there's somebody with you that can be waiting there at the door or out in the driveway, if your house is set back from the road, you know, we're kind of used to in Pittsfield, everybody's house, we think everybody's house is seen from the driveway or from the road, but there's a lot of, you know, streets on the outskirts of Pittsfield that the driveways are very long and not always easily identifiable. So make sure that that you do take those steps so that there's no delay in us, you know, finding you or the fire department, who sometimes responds as the first responder.
And time is crucial. I guess Brian and I can't stress that enough. Time can be your friend or time can be your enemy. And if you have a condition where you have to call for an ambulance, you probably want it to be on your side and be ready for them when they come.
Yeah, and again, you using the heart attack as an example, you know, all that time is very important. So if you are suffering a true heart attack and you've got a clot that's blocking the blood flow to a portion of your heart, it's important we can get you to BMC as soon as possible. If we diagnose in the field that you're having a heart attack, you may not even come off our stretcher when we get to BMC, because what will occur is BMC will do their assessment. They'll, you know, hopefully agree with what we found. They may administer, you know, some medication, and then we immediately go back out the door and take you to Bay State. You know, Bay State has interventional cardiology. You know, they've got a 24-hour-a-day cardiac cath lab where you can go, you know, be brought right in there and have the clot busted up and removed. And, you know, we've had a lot of success with that. We, again, this year, were awarded from the American Heart Association the Mission Lifeline Award for our heart attack care. And that's one of the criteria is our ability to give an EKG within 10 minutes of getting to the patient, identifying that they're having a heart attack and doing an early, what we call a STEMI alert. It's called a ST elevation myocardial infarction. It's a fancy word for a particular type of heart attack, and that we get them to the hospital as soon as possible, and that we then are able to transfer them to that interventional cardiology, you know, down the Mass Turnpike. So we're always proud to receive that award. We had received it for, I believe, 7 years coming up on COVID. And then we weren't able to submit our data for a few years just because COVID got so crazy. And we were busy doing, you know, COVID testing and COVID vaccinations. So this was the first year we were able to resume submitting our data, and we overwhelmingly, you know, got the award. So yeah, a big part of that award is that we adhere to those time sensitive things that go along in a heart attack.
We're going to take a break. I'm here with Brian Andrews. He is the president of County Ambulance. We want the holiday seasons are notorious for a lot of reasons, but we want you to be prepared should you have to do it. I will be back in just a minute. And I just want to say, don't miss an opportunity to be with friends and family this Thanksgiving for I don't know what reason you'd miss. But, the elections. I forgot. We'll be right back. This is WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio. We're simulcasting on PCTV Channel 1301. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Hey, it's Sean from WTBR-FM. Whether you just found this station for the first time or you've been listening for years, you might not know everything about WTBR-FM. Want to find out more? It's easy. Just go to WTBRFM.com. You can find full programming schedules, listen to the station anywhere in the world, subscribe to our podcasts, and even learn to create a program of your own. And of course, donate to the station. That's WTBRFM.com. Check it out today.
Greetings, this is John Pollock, host of The Jazz Train, which comes your way every Saturday night from 10 to 11:30. The Jazz Train generally features music recorded on a particular calendar date in years past and provides relevant commentary and discographical details. So why not join me for a ride on the jazz train for a weekly musical adventure, coming to you on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
You have chosen wisely.
WTBR. And now back to the morning drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, we are back. I'm here with Brian Anders, someone I've known for a very long time, have an enormous amount of respect for. He's the president of County Ambulance. His team, and full disclosure, we've had to use Brian and his ambulance team for family members, and all we can say was they were terrific, total professionals. We're here today to talk because it's the holidays, and Brian has a lot of experience in EMS. I had a lot of experience as a police officer, and the holidays bring with it its own group of issues.
Absolutely. And one of them, too, is I see the weather report is a little mixed at the moment for Thursday. Yeah. Looking like potentially some snow or some sleet or freezing rain. You never know what we're going to get. And if you're going to be traveling, you know, make sure that you have your car ready for winter. Make sure you've got those snow tires on, that it's been, you know, had some recent service, so we know that it's going to keep running and not stall out somewhere.
And your windshield washer fluid is filled.
Yeah, and have a scraper with you so that you can scrape the windshield before you start off. And, you know, have some type of emergency kit. There's simple emergency kits you can get at some of the big box stores, or, you know, at some of the hardware or
AAA.
Absolutely. And it has everything from flares or those reflective triangles, so that if you are pulled over on the side of the road, you can, you know, alert people coming along, to jumper cables, to maybe a basic first aid kit, maybe a space blanket or a blanket of some sort in case, yep, you know, you're stuck in a blizzard or God forbid some other type of weather event that you can't get, you know, found right away. You know, make sure your cell phones are charged up before you go, and yep, make sure you're not using your cell phone while you're driving. That is just one pet peeve of mine. It drives me crazy to see people, you know, staring in their lap or staring at their cell phone and not looking ahead. Even with the newer cars today that have the you know, built-in Bluetooth, I'm going to even use that when I'm driving, because it's very easy to lose your train of thought. So, you know, you don't want to be distracted when you're driving. There's crazy enough drivers out there without you being one of them. You know, and you've got to really be defensive in how you drive. You know, I just, this morning, I had it happen. I was on my way to Bay State for a doctor's appointment, and I was on the Lenox bypass, and all of a sudden I see this car come flying up behind me and swerving from lane to lane. You know what the worst part was? I thought it was, I stereotyped and thought it was some young kid, you know, self, whatever. Next thing I know, the car goes blowing by me, and it's an older woman. It was, you know, a woman who was probably in her 60s, 70s, you know, not a spring chicken. And, you know, next thing I know, they blew through a red light. Then, of course, they get caught in traffic. And next thing you know, I catch up to them. Yeah. And they're, you know, combing her hair in traffic and driving. And then was pulling out into the travel lane through Lee. It was just crazy. And it appeared as though she probably worked, because I went to get on the turnpike and she veered and went off towards the shopping village down there. So I don't know if she was late for a sale, or late for work or whatever, but, you know, it doesn't make any sense to take chances like that. So, you know, we've got to be on the lookout for people like that who aren't, you know, being safe drivers themselves.
You have to drive defensively today. You really do. I had a situation this morning pulling out of Sacred Heart's parking lot. Guy came flying around a corner. He wasn't there a minute ago. I pulled out, and now he's edging, trying to pass me.
Yep. Yeah.
On Newell Street.
Newell Street. Yeah, that big four-lane highway.
Newell Street. Yeah, where the hell were you going that you'd kill maybe yourself or others?
Yep.
The other piece too is that we talked about this, and it's not easy, but it's important. And that is, people get depressed at this time of the year, and whatever. If you're out there and you find yourself, Brian has some numbers for you. Call. I've used this in the past. I heard it in the military that suicide is a permanent solution to a temporary problem. And whatever you do, get some help. Talk to somebody.
And 988 is the new national crisis number. It's in effect throughout all the states of, you know, the United States. And if you dial that number, it gets you connected to mental health, professionals who then can, get you resources more local. So, in the area, we have the Breen Center. They have their crisis team. They have an emergency center. Berkshire Medical Center obviously has their care within the emergency department. So 911, but 988 is specifically for mental health emergencies. And don't be afraid to call that should you feel like you're suffering a crisis and are depressed and not having good thoughts.
Yeah, and believe me, people understand that. I'm very familiar with people who've had always, they dread the holidays. They don't look forward to them. And that's because of some trauma in their life. And just take some time and get the help you need or just get through it. It'll help you get through it. Family members, friends, if you know people who are in a funk during this time and they have weapons, see if you can hold them for them.
Yeah, and, I know most people, when they think about getting help for depression, they think about, booking an appointment with a therapist or a psychiatrist. And we all know that those appointments are weeks, more likely months out because everybody is, booked up. But that's what these numbers are for, 988. Or the crisis center, so that you can get immediate assistance that will, get you through the immediate situation and then hopefully get you hooked up in a more timely fashion with some further resources.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we can't, bring that up enough this time of year. But also, you need to think about the physical things that can happen around the holidays. And a big one this time of year for elderly people are trip hazards. They love to decorate and, get in the holiday mood and put up trees and put up lights and put out decorations, but make sure that you don't create a trip hazard for yourself, that especially the older you get, and you have softer bones and other medical issues, that you can suffer a fractured hip because you tripped on an extension cord that you had run for your lights, or your tree. And also make sure that if there's any question as to lights being frayed or have issues, replace them. Don't take any chances. This is a big time of year for fires too, where people either overload circuits or they're, putting out decorations that they've had for years and years and years. And they've got cracks in the wires or whatever the case may be, or maybe crack sockets that the bulbs are in. Don't take any chances because, you don't want to cause a fire that can injure you or worse, or a family member or, a neighbor.
Yeah. And the other thing too is, and I saw this last year, I was out for my walk and somebody had an indoor extension cord through the mail slot of their home to a blow up machine. They call them indoor for a reason. They're meant to be indoors. And that you could get yourself electrocuted, could God only knows. And Brian's right. I have, I'm not a kid anymore and I realized that I don't get on ladders anymore. I just don't do it because, not to get into details, but a family member slipped on a throw rug and broke their hip.
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't take much. You're right. And, you know, we're falling, hit your head. You, my significant other over the weekend was like, why didn't you get up on the roof and put some lights around the... And I was like, well, since I'm on my third head injury, my doctor suggests that I not fall, hit my head again, because the outcome might be worse than it's been in the past. So, yeah, those are all things we need to think about. We certainly all like to decorate and you know, get in the Christmas mood, but you don't want to have, you know, you don't want to cause any injuries due to that.
That's right. And the other thing too, and I can remember a kid, if it says +3 or 5 and above, go with it, because they've been tested. I remember, and the kid was fine, but the kid took a little piece and put it in his mouth and started to choke.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's a great point, Bill, that there's a reason they put those age ranges on those toys and those gifts. And same thing, think about what you're putting out for Christmas decorations.
Yeah.
You put small ornaments on the lower branches that an infant or, you know, somebody of very age can get access to. Or mistletoe, holly, any of those things can have poisonous berries that,
an excellent point. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's something to think about when you're doing your decorating. Do you have, maybe you don't have young kids in your household, but do you have young kids who come to visit? Grandkids, great grandkids. Then you may want to change up what you were thinking of doing for the safety of everybody. The other thing is be careful about fires, you know, because this is the time of year that people like to use candles and, you know, get those candles that give you scents and things like that. But it's so easy to knock them over, you know, especially if there's children around.
Or pets.
Right. Pets jump up on things all the time.
Yeah.
Also, a big pet peeve of mine is, you know, Christmas Day, don't start stuffing all your cardboard boxes in your gift wrap into the fireplace. It's a quick way to start a chimney fire. And I know, you know, I'm not going to get into the toter controversy. I know you only got one toter unless you requested a second to put your recyclables in. But, you know, safer to keep it laying around the house or garage for an extra week to get rid of it than to cause yourself a chimney fire on Christmas Day. But so many people, you know, think it's okay to do that. So.
And Chief Salmon gave some wonderful, last time I interviewed him, never, if you have a heater or a cooler, any hot or cold, plug it into the wall. Do not plug it into a bus bar on those strips, because they're not made to handle that kind of a draw, and poof. Then you got a fire.
Yeah, I was recently going through some old cords and kind of weeding out some things. And I don't even know where this happened, but I stumbled upon one of those power strips that was melted. Somehow it had gotten melted, and I don't know why it got shoved back in the box for Christmas and put away. It should have been thrown away right at that time.
Yeah.
They make those pretty cheaply for a reason. And, you know, they don't, some of them will not withstand to a great load on them. So you really have
to. No, they won't. And they won't blow. Some of them have a fuse, but the fuse doesn't work.
Exactly. Exactly. So electrical hazards are a big one. And the other hazard I want to mention that people don't always think about, but it's especially this week, is food poisoning. People are thinking about, geez, I got to take my turkey out and thaw it. Make sure you use safe food handling. You know, make sure you know how many days ahead that you need to take that turkey out. You know, we took one out last week because we were going to have a Friendsgiving this weekend. with some friends, and unfortunately, sickness went through their house, so they weren't able to come. And we were like, well, we got to cook this turkey one way or another. It's all thawed out. But, you know, people don't always think about that when it comes to poultry, you know, most foods, but especially poultry, that you defrost it accordingly. Don't put it under a heat lamp, or don't, you know, put it in a warm place. Make sure you do what the directions suggest. Also, make sure when you're preparing that you wash your hands frequently. Cross contamination can be a big thing, where you're working on the turkey, getting it ready, and next thing you know, you're chopping up some vegetables. And just make sure that you don't mix things together. Use a different cutting board, different knives. Wash your hands. And I am, you know, a big proponent of having food thermometers available. I use food thermometers all the time, and making sure that your food is up to temperature so that you don't undercook it.
Yeah.
And also make sure, because, you know, this is the time of year where people are coming and going, and, you know, people may be coming in, you know, shifts, if you will, where, well, some people are going to come this time and others. You got to really make sure that you maintain safe food handling. You don't leave it out for too long, because you can get food poisoning from a lot of different foods. People only think about turkey, but there's a lot of different things that if you don't leave them hot or cold can breed the bacteria that will give you food poisoning. And also, as much as you're going to have a lot of leftovers, 3 to 4 days really is the max you want to keep leftovers. Yep. When they become unsafe, ditch them. You know, or if you're a person who freezes things, think about it, you know, look up if it's safe to freeze something, then freeze it. But don't let it go beyond 3 to 4 days, because then you're really running at risk of a food poisoning problem. Some chronic health issues, or elderly or very young, food poisoning can be very devastating, not just an uncomfortable time. It can be deadly to some people with certain medical conditions.
The other thing too, that if a lot of people use fish things like shrimp, and if you've left the shrimp out for like on the table for 3 or 4 hours, you probably don't want to save it for the next day. I'm just saying, I'm not an authority on shrimp, but I do know of a case where somebody got same kind of a deal. It was a big party. They put the stuff out early. Everybody, and this person ate the shrimp and got deathly ill because it tainted.
That's another good point, Bill. And so I a lot of times, as you know, I do a lot of the big things at the Falcons, or you know, I used to do them at the Elks. So I'm kind of used to doing those types of things. So at home, I use the same types of practices. You know, I'll take some of those foods, put them on a bowl of ice so that you keep the temperature down.
That's an excellent point. Yes.
Well, are you
mayonnaise? If you have anything with mayonnaise, make sure it's on a bowl of ice.
Absolutely. You know, and you can go to some of these big box stores and get crock pots for 15, 20 bucks. You know, invest in one or two of them so that you can keep food warm that you might have out for an extended period of time. There's, you know, you don't have to invest a lot of money to keep people safe when it comes to food.
And they're excellent points. And as we come almost to the close, both Brian and I, and a lot of other people, are going to plead with you. If you've had too much to drink, please don't drive. Call for a ride. Call for a cab. Call a friend to take you home. The last thing you want to do is wake up in a cell and realize you might have killed somebody the night before. And absolutely. My life, I've seen it, and it's just not worth it. And you know, I can honestly raise my hand and say I have never had an opportunity to intervene with someone who has been drinking. But I always was prepared if I saw somebody that I would say something and say, are you sure you want to drive? Because sometimes it takes just that. They may tell you to go, you know, jump in a lake. Okay, fine. Thank you. I've done my best.
Yeah, and you're better off if you know you're going to be, intaking some alcoholic beverages. Make arrangements ahead of time.
Exactly.
Talk to somebody about being the designated driver so that there's not going to be an argument later on, or, you know, whatever the case may be. You want to stay safe.
Brian and I are available as designated drivers. We charge $53.50 an hour. No, I'm only kidding. But I kid about it, but I don't kid. I covered in Lanesboro alone, I think I covered 4 or 5 fatal accidents. And it's always difficult to tell the family. So, Brian, last thoughts? Don't procrastinate. If you don't feel good, call.
Right. Don't delay in calling for help. 911, we're there all the time. And don't even feel bad if there's a question of it, because we'll come help evaluate you. And if it turns out, well, maybe you don't need an ambulance, which not too many times we find that's the case. But occasionally you find somebody just overreacted. You know what? It's not going to cost you any money for us to come check you out and, you know, suggest what you should do. Just call early and don't call often, but call early.
Yeah. Brian, to you and your family, the very, very best Thanksgiving ever. I can remember years ago going up to the old guy's shop and chatting with him, and his dad is an expert at anything radio, two-way. He did the whole county, I think, for many years. The best to you and your family. Thank you for doing this. I hope to you people listen to this, especially the two things, or three things. Drinking, if you're down and out, call somebody. Don't do something stupid. And just, and if you can't enjoy the holiday, weather through it. That's all. So don't drink and drive. If you're down and out in Beverly Hills, call for help. And two, if you're not feeling well, don't wait till the day after Christmas, because who knows? Maybe you wouldn't be here, or you won't be here. Brian Andrews, County Ambulance, thank you so much, and the best to you and your entire family.
Thanks, Bill, and same to you and the Polish Princess. I hope you have a great Thanksgiving.
I hope so, too. It all depends on how I behave. So
she'll be in line.
Go from there. All right, thanks, Brian. I really appreciate this.
You're welcome. Ha ha ha!